it's nice to be with you. Bit disappointed, got to the hall, there was nobody there. So anyway, such is life. But no, I was going to say, this exhortation, it's one that I've written during the lockdown period, and obviously things have changed quite a lot since the beginning of the year, very much so. But obviously over the last few weeks, certainly in Scotland, things have started easing up. I believe in England you're a little bit further ahead, for good or for ill, than we are in Scotland. But thankfully things are slowly starting to get back to some semblance of normality. But I think, you know, as we look back, you know, back into what it was like in April and into May, you know, I think everybody's had different experiences during lockdown. I think, you know, I think the fact that, you know, you've not been able to get out and about, the fact that you've not been able to see people face to face has been really difficult. Not, you know, I think for virtually everybody. And, you know, isn't it a good thing that we live in an age where we have now the technology that we can either hear each other or indeed see each other, you know, more or less when we want, which is a great thing. You know, I dread to think what this would have been like with quarantine and everything going back. If this had happened, you know, 15, 20, 30 years ago, I think it'd been very, very difficult, very, very different from what we've experienced. And it's not been easy. You know, we know it's not been easy. But I think it's fair to say, though, that, you know, as in all things in life, there are good things and bad things, and depending on what you look for is what you find. If you wanted to look at the bad things about what's happened during lockdown, and forgetting the horrendous situation, health conditions, family and friends suffering with this horrible illness, and some unfortunately dying, you take that out of the equation and you just look purely at how our lives have been impacted. There have been some awful things, you know, and it's just, you know, the fact that you've not been able to see family and friends, the fact you've not been able to, well, for a while, you weren't really even allowed to go outside other than for your, you know, a half an hour walk or whatever. You know, that was horrible. But on the plus side, there have been some good things that have come out of this. Firstly, we have this facility here just now. The fact that we're able to meet together, we're able to share fellowship together. Okay, it's a different sort of fellowship from perhaps what we've been used to in the past, but we are still able to share fellowship. In Irvine, we've used Skype as opposed to Zoom. The main reason for that being that the majority of people had used Skype or had Skype on the laptops and things. So we use Skype, very similar to Zoom. But it's meant that as an ecclesia, we've been able to share fellowship together. Indeed, we've been able to get more people attending regularly on a Sunday and more people attending regularly at Bible class since lockdown than we ever achieved beforehand. And it's been good sharing that fellowship. We've got a WhatsApp group set up for the sisters and brothers in the ecclesia as well. And it was really amusing. It started off very much a case of people, you know, oh, I'm not interested in social media. Oh, I don't want anything to do with this. And now I've had to mute it on my phone because if I'm sitting here working and my phone is just pinging continuously with our sisters and our brothers in the ecclesia chatting to each other. And for a while, I still don't get it. They were taking pictures of stones and stones they'd seen in different areas. And very good, I'm sure, and lovely for the fellowship side, but when you're trying to do your work and your phone is pinging continuously and it's just another picture of a set of stones, then, you know, it does kind of get a bit wearing. But they've taken to social media like that and that form of fellowship tremendously. And of course it means now that when a recording brother is putting out announcements and things, instead of sending it via email here and printing copy, you know, just sends everything out via WhatsApp so everybody gets it and then comments on it continuously. So it's been good from that aspect. Another thing I found is it's speaking to people that you don't normally speak to. For example, one of my best and dearest friends, Brother Stephen Eastwood from Castleford. I've known Stevie for many, many years. In fact, I know that Helen, Sarah, and of course our dear Brother David were on the campaign that Halifax sold to him where I first met Stevie in 1988, which is a long time ago now. Now, I've been best of friends with Stevie in all that time, and we'd normally speak or, you know, maybe meet each other maybe once or twice a year, have an occasional phone call or whatever. But since lockdown, every Saturday afternoon, we've done a crossword together and enjoyed a few beers and drinks together as well. And it's been lovely being able to do that. So the fact that being able to keep in touch and enhance the friendship I've got with friends has been brilliant. And of course, the other thing is that as lockdown has started to ease, and you know, when we were outside clapping on a Thursday night for our key workers and showing appreciation for them, you were interacting with neighbours whom you nodded to perhaps, but now you started speaking to them. And you'd look out and you'd see that if someone wasn't out, that was normally out on a Thursday night, you'd be asking, are they okay? Making sure that things were being looked after. And of course, when you're walking down the street and you see someone and you nod and you say, hi, how are you? Over the last few months, when you nod and say, hello, how are you? You're listening to hear what people are saying back. You're actually interested to know how someone is in case they may need some help. And of course, the vice versa as well. And it prompts me very much to think of what we read in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where we read, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And of course, although we can look at the bad things from lockdown, and the bad thing is what's happened, there's many good things we can look at as well. And I think that's maybe one of the things we've been exhorted to there, isn't it? Is to look for the good things. And of course, those good things which we have now started doing is to continue that on. That we do perhaps look out a little bit more for our friends and neighbours around us. We are maybe a little bit more appreciative of those who in the past haven't been able to get out as much, because now we've experienced maybe a little bit of what it's like when our own liberties are curtailed in some way. So yeah, there's been lots of hard things about lockdown, but it's also been some good things. And as in our own lives, where our own lives are made up of good things and bad things, good aspects and bad aspects, we need to try and put the bad aspects behind us and concentrate on the good things. So too with our lives now coming out of lockdown. We need to be concentrating on the good and nurturing the good things and putting away the bad things. One of the other things, I'm sure you probably found this as well. I mean, during lockdown, I've been fortunate in as much as that I've still been working full time, despite my job normally being out speaking to people face to face. I've seemed to have spent the last 3 or 4 months almost continuously either on the phone or on Zoom calls like this. And I mean, let's be perfectly honest about this. 4 months ago, I hadn't even heard of Zoom. And now I use Zoom virtually every single day. So there you go. But I have had that little bit extra time as well. And as I sit here at my desk looking out the window, you know, I can see other people's gardens. And I have to say, the quality of gardeningmanship in our reclose here has improved dramatically over the last 3 or 4 months. You can't see our garden. Our back garden, where Miriam has spent a lot of time, is absolutely beautiful. The front garden, where I've spent the majority of my time, is absolutely fantastic. The reason being is that it's all paved over. It's where I keep my cars and things. So it looks stupendous. And I've spent a lot of time working on my cars, doing the jobs that I can do. But I've also spent a lot of time, for those of you who don't know, I do like taking cars to car shows and things. And I've spent a lot of time on my cars replacing all the bolts that are visible with stainless steel ones. I've detailed the engine bays on the cars. I've washed and polished bits that have never been washed or polished in the last, one car's 20 years old. I don't think it's ever been done in the last 20 years. I've had a toothbrush going out, getting into some of the wee nooks and crannies to to get the bits sorted out. And the cars look brilliant. But I do know that there's some things that do need done on them. I know that one of the cars, despite the fact it looks really, really nice on the outside, underneath it does need a wee bit of welding done on it. It does need some work done on it. And unfortunately, that's not a sort of job I can do myself, so I will need to get that into a garage to do. And of course, I suppose the thing is that that can be a little bit like ourselves as well, isn't it? You know, outwardly, we can give this impression that, you know, we're really good Christians, that, you know, we're very, very good people. But inside, perhaps, maybe a little bit more work's needing done. Just as on my car, the bodywork in the car looks great, but I know there are things that need worked on elsewhere in it. And again, the same for us, you know. Perhaps, you know, we need to think ourselves as well, how we can improve ourselves, how we can improve our own attitude to things and make ourselves all round better people. And let's be honest, every single one of us has room to improve. I'm minded of what we read in the letter to James, James chapter 19. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And unfortunately, speaking for myself, I tend to find that I tend not to listen probably as much as I do, or as I should do. I'm very quick to get in there and speak and tell people what I want to say. I can get angry quite quickly. You know, that seems to be how things go. It's funny that it's one of the things we're told at work. You know, we do what the we're supposed to do, what the core effect of listening. And I remember one of my trainers saying to me, because you might go remember, Simon, is that, you know, we've been given 2 ears on one mouth, and that is because we can listen twice as much as what we should be speaking. And of course, is that not what James is saying there? You know, we should be quick to listen because we've got 2 ears, and slow to speak because we've only got one mouth. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself to be religious, and let's be honest, we're all here because we consider ourselves to be religious. So if anyone considers themselves to be religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And unfortunately, we're living in a world where there is a lot of sorrow at the moment in all different areas. There's lots of sorrow. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of people needing help. There are a lot of people in our own country who don't know what the future holds for them, whose jobs have virtually disappeared overnight. And people will need help. And perhaps as part of our show of what our religion means to us, we should be looking at more to how we can be helping those around us. You know, I think sometimes we're very good at helping and donating and supporting the various different Christadelphian charities and things that are there. But yet, in our haste to go and donate to them, we're stepping over the people that are on the street outside us. So again, it's that, maybe there's that rebalance for us there as well. That, it's one thing to be professing our religion, but we need to make sure we're actually living it. And what did Jesus do? Jesus always stopped to help. And we are, of course, followers of Jesus. So yeah, it's a lockdown. It's been quite a thought-provoking time for us all. And I say, you know, it's not until we're coming out of it now you realise how much you've actually missed seeing people. Had to do a couple of jobs for work, and was the beginning of middle of May, and in so doing, I had to meet a couple of my colleagues, very socially distanced, all with their gloves and masks and everything on. But it was fantastic actually seeing my colleagues, despite the fact I'd been speaking to them and seeing them on video calls like this, to actually be in the same area and being able to see a colleague that I hadn't spoken to or hadn't seen physically for maybe 2 months was brilliant. A couple of weeks ago, we went down to see, we were able to travel at the end of beginning of July, we went down to see Hannah and Tom and Poppy, and that was brilliant being able to see them. Absolutely lovely. And despite the fact we speak to them regularly, it was lovely being able to see them. So seeing and speaking to family and friends from all over is a tremendous thing. And whilst it's been fantastic being able to do it virtually, being able to do it physically is even better. But for all that, there are still times when it is nice just to have some time to yourself. And I think that's something we probably can all associate with as well. That, you know, as much as it's nice being with other people and as much as it's nice being able to interact with other people, sometimes it is nice just to have that, you know, that little bit of time to ourselves. And of course, it's in those, you know, in those sort of situations, maybe that's where we remember those that have wandered away or whatever else. And it reminds me, you know, in Luke chapter 15, you have this wonderful parable that Jesus tells us. In Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep. And, you know, then Jesus told in this parable, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. I tell you the truth, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And of course, during lockdown, as I mentioned, you know, we've been able to have a bit more time and maybe speak to some of the individuals that we've not spoken to. And I remember someone saying to me, oh yes, it's a good opportunity for us to reach out to the lost sheep. I thought, well, yeah, that's fair enough. And then I reread that and thought, well, actually, to be honest, I think I'm probably one of the lost sheep. Because, you see, let's get this out here first. I am no expert on sheep. Okay, you know, I know what they look like. They taste okay. Handy for getting wool and all that kind of stuff from. But I'm no expert on sheep. But what I have seen is, if you're driving along a little country road and there's a fence down, then sheep wander out and will wander over the road and everything else. And, of course, it reminds you of that parable, doesn't it? Of the lost sheep, the sheep wandering off. Now, I fully suspect that if you look at that parable that Jesus told, and, you know, the shepherd goes off and brings that sheep back, I suspect later on the same day or the next day, another sheep will have wandered off and they'll have gone and got that sheep. And then the next day, another sheep will wander off. I don't expect it's always the same, you know, I might be wrong, but sheep don't seem to have much common sense, and they do seem to wander off where they want to wander. And I do suspect that that parable, although it's concentrating on the one sheep in that instance, I suspect that the other 99 sheep are equally as guilty themselves at some point, past, present or future, of wandering away. And of course, the shepherd goes and gets the sheep. And that's a tremendous lesson for us there as well, that every single one of us has and will at some point wander off and need to be brought back. And of course, aren't we lucky that our shepherd, the shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, is there to save us. And of course, that's exactly what he does. Our shepherd, Jesus, loves us so much that he was willing to lay down his life to rescue and to save each and every one of us. Even in those occasions when we wander off, he'll come and look for us. And that's a tremendous thing. So yes, a tremendous opportunity for us to reach out to the lost sheep. And of course, to remember that each and every one of us is also a lost sheep. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, having some time alone. And of course, you know, as a sheep wanders off into the void, you know, minding its own business, having its own little nice bit of alone time, you know, it's something that we all like to do at some point. Is have that little bit of time alone. And of course, our Lord Jesus was absolutely no different from that at all. We read in the Gospel of Mark and at in verse 32, Mark 14 and verse 32, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." And going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, "Are you still asleep? Are you asleep? Could you not pray and watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. And returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So a very thought-provoking example of Jesus needing some time by himself. And of course, he took Peter, James and John with him, and then sat them down, and he went a little bit further himself, because he needed that bit of time by himself, knowing, of course, that his friends were there. And again, I suppose that's a bit like us as well, isn't it? We all need some time alone, but it's nice to know that our friends, our sisters and our brothers are there for us. And you have this, then Jesus went off and prayed. And I've said this before from the platform, and I will say it again. It upsets me when people say, "Oh, Jesus gladly laid down his life," or "Jesus willingly laid down his life." Yeah, he did, but he didn't want to do it. In that chapter in Mark, it's apparent that Jesus did not want to lay down his life. Jesus did not want to be tortured and executed in the way he was going to be. 3 times he prayed to God, "If there is any other way, can this cup be taken from me?" And 3 times he said, "May your will be done." And of course, that is a tremendous lesson for us, isn't it? That as we look what's happened to us here in our country over the last 4 months or so, and we see the great changes that have taken place, to know that no matter what happens around us, that Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to lay down his life so that each and every one of us could have our sins forgiven. That is a tremendous thing to know. We started off the exhortation by saying that, you know, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, I put it to you, if there's anything in our world at all which fits all those categories, it is Jesus. He's true, noble, he's right, he's pure, he's lovely, he's admirable, he's excellent and praiseworthy. We should be thinking about such things. So, we don't know what the future holds for us. We don't know if there's going to be a second spike. We don't know what's going to happen to our families and our friends with their jobs and their incomes. We don't know what's going to happen to people's health. We don't know all these things. There's so many uncertainties lying ahead for us. But what we do know is that we have a shepherd who loves us. We have a shepherd who is worthy of praise. We have a shepherd who lays down his life for us and actively looks for us. And now, as we prepare to take the bread and the wine, we can think about Jesus, we can think about everything that he's done for us. And as we go into a new week, that's something we can think about, something that is good, something that is true, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and of course, praiseworthy.
Thank you, Brother Simon. Thank you very much.